it's mentioned it is prohibited to evacuate one's bowel in blind alleys without the permission of the people of those alleys. Secondly, in the property of a person who has not granted permission for its use for such purpose. If somebody goes to a garden of someone, or to his house, or somewhere, naturally he has to take permission to go and use the latrine. If you think that he is not allowing, he is not supposed to do so. Third, at a place which is reserved for a particular group, example, school, hostel, orphanage, etc. Most are from private places. A school is private for the students of the school. Or in the orphanage, in the toilet is for the orphans only. Or sometimes dormitory, it is for the students who are living in that dormitory. So unless one takes permission of the trustees of that, it is not allowed for one who is passing aside and then he thought he can go and he enters without permission and use the latrine. Because these latrines are not for public. If it is made for public, fine, but these latrines are made for a particular group. So he has to take permission of the trustees of that place. And some people say it more than that. It's a latrine made for a mosque. So those who use the latrine should also be related to the mosque. Means they should come and pray in the mosque. For the outsiders, if they think that these latrines are only for those who want to pray, it is not allowed to use it. So it is not made for public. If they know it is made for public as well, fine. But if they know that this is made only for those who are coming to the mosque to pray, so he cannot use the latrine. If he uses the latrine, he has to make wudu and he has to come and pray in the mosque so that the one who built the mosque will get thawab. So it cannot be used haphazardly. Four, on the graves of the believers or at places which are sacred from the point of view of religion and use whereof for these purposes amounts to their discretion. Well, we cannot insult the mu'min, and the mu'min who is alive is respected, and when he is dead he is equally respected. So a grave of a dead mu'min is respected as well, and evacuating the bowel there may show a disrespect and it is not allowed. Now we come to matter how to clean or purify ourselves from both from urine and from stool. He said it can be cleaned. The urine has to be purified by water only. If it is running water or cold water, once if it is washed, that is sufficient. If it is under cold water, for precautionary measures to be washed twice, or according to some ulama, it's better to be washed thrice. Now, from the stool, cleaning of the bottom can be made in two ways, either by water or what is said in fiqh by sharqa, by a piece of cloth or tissue paper. You can clean or make it tahir stool by using tissue paper. It should be cleaned three times by three tissue papers or three maybe garments or even three stones can be cleaned by three clean stones, and if nothing remains, then it is tahir, that is sufficient. There is a condition that to clean the bottom from stool, there should be no other type of impurity, no other najasa. For example, there should be no blood. It will clean from stool only. If there is a blood, then blood needs water to clean. And there should be no other external impurity comes out. You say no urine, for example,
showered on the bottom so that urine cannot be cleaned with tissue paper. And the purity should not spread more than the bottom itself. It should not spread around. If it is spread around, then that cannot be cleaned with tissue, but has to be cleaned with water. This is what they want to explain here. We read it. In the following three cases, the bottom can be purified only with water. You will say only with water. When another impurity also comes out along with the feces, means sometimes the blood comes, and here is only with water you can clean. Second, when an external impurity touches the bottom. Third, when the impurity spreads on the bottom more than it is usual. Somebody has diarrhea, sometimes all the pelvis gets impure, and here the cleaning has to be with water only. Otherwise, if it is localized to the bottom, there is no blood, no external impurity, it can be purified with tissue paper. In other cases, that is to say in conditions other than the three conditions mentioned above, the bottom can be purified by cleansing it with water, and can also be purified with tissue paper, cloth, or stone, etc. Although it is better to wash it with water. Generally, always it is better to wash it with water. The urinary organ cannot be purified without water. It should suffice if after removing the original impurity, the urinary organ is washed once with cold water or with running water. However, in the case of under cold water, it is a necessary precaution to wash it twice, and it is still better to wash it thrice. So with cold water or tap water, washing it once is sufficient, but if you are using a small amount of water, you have to wash it two or three times as precautionary measure. Well, if you draw, you can read it. You can go to the mustahabbat of using the Latrine, recommended and abominable methods relating to Latrine. Mustahabbat and makruhat. Abominable here for makruh. When a person enters the Latrine, it is recommended that he should first place his left foot inside, and having covered his head, he should. This mustahabbat is mentioning one by one. The first, it is mustahab when you enter the Latrine, you put your left leg first, and when you come out, you put your right leg first. Of course, this is opposite the condition when you enter the mosque. When you enter the mosque, it is mustahab to put your right leg first, and when you leave the mosque, it is mustahab to put your left leg. Well, some say from anatomy point of view, it is a claim that if someone dies while standing, if his left leg is to the front, he will fall to the backside. And if his right leg is in the front, he will fall on his face. So probably that is one of the reasons that when one enters the Latrine, he may use his left leg, or in case sudden death happens to him, he will not fall to the Latrine, he will fall outside. And when he comes out, he puts his right leg first, so that he may fall again outside. Well, Allah knows why, maybe some other reasons are there, we don't know. So that is one of the mustahabbat. To cover his head or cover the nose and the mouth. It is also mustahab to cover the head. The head should not be bare head. He should sit at a place where none can see him. Can see him and see even his head or body. Otherwise, the private parts, it is haram to be seen. But if he sits at a place where even his body cannot be seen. It is also recommended that
he should transfer the weight of his body on his left foot. Not to transfer the weight, it is just a weak translation. He should sit tilting to the left leg. He concentrate more on his weight on the left leg and extend the right leg. And on leaving the latrine, he should first place his right foot outside it, outside the latrine. Well, some of the doctors, they mentioned from anatomy point of view that evacuation of the colon will be much easier when the body is tilted toward the left side and the right leg is extended. The direction of the colon will come straight or nearly to straight with the bottom, and evacuation will be better, and this may treat the case of constipation. It may have a medical benefit as well. Of course, the real reason is known only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is recommended, mustahab, to void before prayer and then take wudu, before sleep and before sexual intercourse, and after coming out of semen from the body. After semen ejaculation, it is recommended to urinate so that no remnants of semen remain. It is abominable to face the sun or the moon. Well, abominable here is makruh. As in the daytime, it is makruh to face the sun, and at night it is makruh to face the moon. It is not, however, abominable if the person concerned somehow conceals his private parts. Now, facing means it is direct facing, but if you can cover in a small room or something that he can cover his private part, then it is not makruh. The following acts are also abominable while evacuating one's bowel or bladder. First, to sit in the opposite direction of the blowing wind. If the wind is blowing, now to face the blowing wind is also makruh. To sit on the road or streets, or before the door of a house, or under a fruit-bearing tree. Well, you see how much Islam look after cleaning, and even such details are mentioned in books of fiqh, that one should not void or defecate on the roads, on the streets, or even before, in front of the doors of the people, or under a tree where fruits are there. Literally, that will reduce the ratio of contamination and reduce the spread of diseases. Three, to spend too much time, well, to stay long, that is also abominable. And we know from medical point of view, sitting for long will get more pressure, and that will lead to development of piles. So it is not recommended to sit for long. Four, to purify one's private parts with the right hand. Naturally, to wash, one is using the right hand for water, small water, and the left hand for washing. Now, if you use the right hand, it is makruh. It is also abominable to talk while in this condition. So, one has to keep quiet. However, if one has a valid excuse to speak or wishes to recite the name of Allah, there is no harm in it. Naturally, if there is valid excuse, if something important, one is allowed. After all, it is makruh. Or if he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is okay. It is abominable to urinate while standing or on hard earth, on the ground, which is hard earth, or in the holes of the animals. Well, in the ground there are many holes where animals going in and out, and it is makruh
to void there. And naturally the philosophy is maybe because of animal may come out, and maybe scorpion or a snake or something else, and you will get poisoned. So one should avoid such spaces. Or in the water, especially standing water. Well, at the small amounts of water, standing water, it is makruh as well. It is also abominable to postpone evacuation of bowels or bladder, and unlawful if it is injurious for health. Well, to postpone means to delay and time by time, but of course if it reaches a stage where it is harmful to the body and to the health, anything which is making harm to the body is no doubt haram. So it should not reach that stage. Well, these are, as you say, the obligatory rules and regulations, and the recommended or abominable ones. Besides the laws of fiqh, we can understand how Islam is vast in its laws, that even the small and delicate rules and regulations are mentioned in Islam, so that the people can learn a better ethics, and all their aspects of life are covered. From the makruhat, you know how much it is important for health. For example, say to urinate or defecate below fruit bearing tree, it is makruh. And you know this tree may fall, or the people are coming more near to that tree to take the fruit, and the urine and the stool both are a cause of infection. Well, some bacterial infection may flourish, and more than that, parasites are usually transferred by stool. Different worms, Ascaris and Oxuris and other worms, are transferred from person to person through stool. If somebody's hand is contaminated, the eggs will be attached to the hand, and if he use his hand for eating anything, the eggs will go to mouth and will enter the intestine and will flourish through a process into full worm. So that is, we say in Islam, we say it is makruh for that. Again, to standing or stagnatory water, it is makruh, because usually that water, first of all, will be infected. Secondly, bilharzia is a well-known source of infection of millions of people in the third world countries, and bilharzia, part of its cycle to grow is through urinating in the water, and there are special carriers in the water where the bilharzia ovum will develop, and then again will reinfect those who swim there and enter the body. So Islam right away said this act is makruh. It is better to avoid it, and that has its own effect on the health of the people. Again mentioned that the claim that you should put a mask, and that mask, actually the bad smell and or effect of bacteria will be reduced by the mask, say the mask and head cap. So all that has its own benefit for the Muslims. And such religion which take care of such small things, it shows, cannot be, such laws cannot be made by a human being, and such laws must be laws of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have created the human being and knows whatever useful and whatever harmful for him. Thank you very much. Is there any question? Yeah, in the hard earth, urine will remain, and well, again, the stool will remain on earth, and gradually it will get infected, and will be a good source for bacteria and contamination for others. While it is soft, urine will go inside, and even the earth itself has its effect sometimes to kill some of the bacteria. So probably. From medical point of view, that thing is very important. Any other question? No question? Yes. Yeah, well, drinking water in the daytime is okay. You can drink water while standing or sitting. But it is mentioned at night, it is makruh to drink water while standing. At night, it's better to drink water while sitting. Well, medical point may not be very clear, but what we know is the human being is affected by the sun and by the moon and by the day and the night. The hormones of the body and the status of the body is not the same in the day and in the night. Cortisol, for example, or corticosteroids in general, their level is more at night than in the daytime. The daytime is less, but because of activity, tension, worries, etc., the level of corticosteroids is more at night. The bone pains, for example, are more at night than in the daytime. The patients who have backache, he feels the pain more at night than he's feeling in the daytime. Well, the fever is shown more at night than in the morning. So the situation, or let us say the general condition of the human being is not the same in the day and the night. There is difference. But how that sitting and or standing will affect drinking of water, we don't know exactly, but it must be related to such rules and regulations. Yes, it's mentioned. Mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not makruh. No, taqida or noha comes under general talk. But only mentioning subhanallah, alhamdulillah, something like that. Mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowed. But taqida or noha or other things, a time of wedding is makruh. Yes. Yes. You see what Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying is showing how bad is the drinking of wine in that sense. He's giving such picture that if a seed grows with wine and then becomes a tree, and that if we get a fruit, I will not use that fruit. That is a different situation than Taharat. I mean, If somebody dropped a glass of wine in the sea, then nobody can drink water of the sea. You cannot imagine that in Sharia. What we are discussing is ahkam of taharat and najasat and the difference between core water and plus or under core water. So you mean if a big amount of water is there, and a drop of najasat, either urine or blood or a drop of wine and like that is there, which will not change the color or the taste or smell of that water, then that water will not become najis. I did not say you drink or don't drink. Naturally, if the water is dirty, it may be tahir, but you will not feel to drink of that water. In the swimming pool, the water is tahir, but one will not feel desire to drink that water. Drinking is something, and using it for taharat is something else. And even in many countries, they say that water is not suitable for drinking. Suitable for washing, but not for drinking. So what we are discussing is actually the usage of water, and whether it is tahir or not. So we say that it depends on the amount of water. If it is kor or more than kor, then it will not become najis right away with a drop of najasat. There should be so much najasat that will change the taste, color, or smell, so that it becomes najis. But while if it is a small amount of water, if even a drop of urine or a drop of wine or a drop of stool fall in it, it will make it najis. So that is the ahkam. Now whether you have the desire to drink or not, that is something else. For drinking, naturally you may look to so many other qualities besides taharat for that. Water of the river is clean, but you will not drink it because it has a lot of mud in it. Water of the sea is clean, but you will not drink it because it has salt in it. So drinking needs more specifications with the water. But we are discussing just taharat on that subject.
Let me
ask
you this.
Yeah, in this book he tries to cover fatwa of most of the maraja. He gave only the general things which are accepted by maraja. He is not going through so much details where the difference of fatwa is there. He tries his level best to do that, and he mentioned this in his introduction. Yeah, well, if, I mean, step by step, one has to finish this concise book of fiqh, then next stage one has to go. Because in the details there are so many other masail existing which are difficult and need a lot of attention and concentration to understand masail and to remember it. Here, it's mentioning the general masail. Worth to remember, and that will go to more details. And because the time of the course is small, we try to read this book better than to go to that detail. But the big book of the Salah may take 1 year time to finish, not in 6 weeks. Yeah, he said 384 liters. Galfa water is 4 liters. 1 liter. So you divide 384 by 4 and you can see how much. And he said if you don't know, then the span you can use of the hand, 3 spans by 3 by 3, and 27 spans. Some of the ulama say 3.5 by 3.5 by 3.5, which will come around 42 spans, cubic spans. But according to Ayatollah Khoi, it's only 27 cubic spans, sufficient. And sometimes you cannot check it with liters. You know, we have an amount of water, and you don't know how to check it with liters. So you can use just the span to make the cubic size of it, which is easy for those who know mathematics to get the cubic size of it. So it's equal to 27 cubic spans.
Thank you.
So the question, when we use the torba or the stone or sujdaga for sujood, some people accuse us as worshipping stone. Actually, that allegation has no basis at all, because putting the forehead on something does not mean worshipping that thing. Otherwise, others are putting their forehead on the carpet. So does it mean they worship the carpet? They put their forehead on the ground. Does that mean they worship the ground? They put their forehead on the prayer mat. Does it mean they worship the prayer mat? Putting head on something does not mean worshipping. We worship Allah, but that is a sign of prostration. Now, prostration has to be when you like to show your full humiliation and humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you put the most important place, the most honorable place, that is the forehead, the highest, the place of the body, on something which has no value. The mud has no value. The earth or the ground has no value. So I say, oh my God, I prostrate so much that the best place, the most honorable place, is put on something which has no value, just as a sort of prostration to you. Well, if you put it on the carpet has value. Again, that prostration will not be full. Maybe that is the philosophy, but in general, according to fiqh is mentioned, you have to do sujood on earth or what grows from earth, except the eaten or the woven things. So earth means the ground, the stone, the marble, the mud, the clay, I mean, and the sand. All this represents earth. So anything of this you can prostrate on, you can do sujood. And besides that, what it grows means the trees, the wood of the tree, the leaf of the tree is allowed, except what is eaten, the fruits are not allowed, or woven, the cotton is not allowed. So these are the general rules for sujood. And it has no way to mean it is type of worship, because that is sujood for Allah, and it is only prostration on what is we are ordered to do. Well, tissue is also, I mean, the paper, kartas, is also allowed. And as Ihtiyab, Ayatollah Khoi said, it is on that paper which is made of wood, originally from wood. Otherwise, in general, the paper is mentioned, you can do sujood on paper as well. No, that is not allowed. Unless necessary, when nothing is available and you have no option, then on the back side of the hand. But in ordinary cases, it is not allowed. Well, in the details are mentioned in Hadith. Well, the ayah is not mentioning the details of the prayer. In general, the details are not mentioned in Quran. It's not mentioned what to say at the time of Qiyam. To start with Takbirat al-Ihram, the reading Surah al-Fatiha, and then one other surah. It's not mentioned that ruku' to make it once or twice. It's not mentioning sujood one time or two times. Tashahud is not mentioned. Third rak'at, fourth rak'at, two rak'at, three rak'at, all as not mentioned. These details are not mentioned in Quran. Only the prayer itself and the act of ruku' and sujood is mentioned. Otherwise, the details are taken from the sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Thank you very much.